This morning's Bible reading is Psalm 67 and can be found in the service sheets or on page 838 of the Black Bibles. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is God's word.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me. It's so wonderful to be here, and what a great psalm. And as I've read this psalm, I've thought this really is about the joy of mission, and we'll come to that in a little bit. So today's a day for being happy. Yeah? Are we happy? Well, apparently not everybody is in Australia, because I heard someone helping me. Statistic. That's right. Have you heard of these things? Statistics. They're very useful. A statistic this week about a study where 50%, actually 51% of Australians are presently anxious about the war in Iran or the kerfuffle in Iran, whatever's going on there at the moment. 25% are actually afraid of what's going on in Iran at the moment. Does that sort of ring true for you? And Iran's just one, isn't it? Like, there's so many different things have happened in the last 6 months to make us kind of worried. Maybe we actually do need something a little bit joyful, some kind of positive thing that we can cling to. Does God have something good going on? These are really important questions for our society and for our generation. A few years ago, I was in a prayer meeting, and there was an elderly gentleman praying in the prayer meeting with us, and we prayed for some CMS missionaries. And afterwards, he came up and he said to me, "I can't think of anything worse than being a missionary." I kind of fell a bit flat when I heard that. I was kind of hoping the prayer meeting might have been a little bit more sort of upbeat and enthusiasm creating than that, but no. What about you? What do you think? It says, what stirs in your mind when you think of a missionary or the work of mission across the world? I don't think this gentleman was actually speaking ill of mission. I know that he actually is quite committed to it in some ways. He was not intending to give that sort of negative blur for me. But because I think he has, in reality, some of the concerns that many of us have about mission, the worries that are connected with it, and particularly like if a friend or a child or a family member or a grandchild or someone were to actually become a missionary, what would that mean for them? I mean, if you had a child who became a missionary, you might have, say, 10 Christmases without seeing them or something. Would that be bad, not good, wouldn't it? And we can empathize to a point with this guy that being a missionary can be hard. That's true. Being a missionary sounds like it's something that puts a lot of pressure on a person, and you'd have to manage this in the public eye, and that's true. And being a missionary sounds like such a different path from what most people take with our lives. It can appear costly, not only for the missionaries themselves, but also for the churches that send them. But I think this psalm, Psalm 67, wants to soothe our worries about mission, and not just soothe, but enthuse us about mission. Calm our concerns by shaping us to think about the world in the way God does. So I think, I wonder, so I have a lot of conversations with people about mission and missionary work, and often, these three things, these three concerns are the sorts of things I've picked up through conversations. They're not often things that people will say straight to me, But they are concerns, I think, that are between the lines. So I'm kind of wondering if maybe you share these concerns a little bit too. And they are these questions. Is mission joyless? You know, is it this sad drudgery for people without joy in other parts of life? Or is mission the adventures of the super spiritual? You know, there are these courageous adventurer type people, and they were never going to sit down and settle down anyway. So maybe that's just what these kind of people end up doing. Or I guess the third concern question is, you know, thinking about myself, would mission cost too much? Would it cost me too much? So that's what I kind of want to look at for the next few minutes. And there are some pretty bold and positive answers from Psalm 67. So let's look at concern question number one, and these are in the notes there in your leaflet, so you can take notes if that's helpful. So, question, is mission joyless? No, it's not. It's joyful. Yeah, I'm glad I've got some smiles out of you. That's good. Because the mission is for joy. It's for the joy of the nations. And when we participate in it, it is for our joy too. Look at Psalm 67, verses 3 to 5. I'll reread them. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Four quick things to notice in that. Firstly, it's pretty repetitive, isn't it? This is really important. I think that's why. And secondly, it's about people groups, not just individuals, but people groups around the world. God is actually concerned about all the people groups of the world. And his goal for them is that they might know him and praise him for who he is. So the psalmist is Jewish, and he's longing for all the other nations to share Israel's knowledge of God and praise of God. And if the people are going to praise him, they're going to have to hear about him, and they're going to need to turn from their sin and from worshipping the other gods to praising and worshipping Israel's God. That's what he's saying. Thirdly, do you notice in this in these verses here, the longing of the psalmist's heart? These aren't just the details of a contract in this psalm, or like an excerpt from a phone book. Do you remember those? Does anyone know what a phone book is? Yeah, we used to have them. So you heard that word may a few times. It can sound a bit like a weak sort of word, can't it? You know, may I help you? Just sort of a bit insipid, that kind of word. But here, I'm sure it is stronger than that. This is about a future that hasn't happened yet, but one that will be supremely good and one that we long for, if you're going to pray this psalm in the way it's intended, and we pray for. It's like saying, if only all the peoples would praise you. I long for the day when the nations will be glad and sing for joy because Christ rules everywhere. May this thing happen. You see how see what I'm saying? It's a stronger use of the word may there. And then fourthly, as I said just a minute ago, mission is for the joy of the nations. That is the point. That is the point of mission. Notice verse 4, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. Can you imagine that? What would that look like? The nations, all the nations of the earth singing for joy and gladness because of God's rule. When we come under God's rule, could you imagine his just and good rule? And so joy is written into the very purpose of mission, because as God goes and makes his ways known and establishes the kingdom of God, what comes is justice and goodness and joy and happiness, and the anxiety and the fear, they flee because things are good. This is what God is trying to inspire us with, this vision of his purposes being good. So, is mission joyless? What do you think? I know a lot of missionaries. I can't remember any missionaries who regret being missionaries. I also don't know many missionaries who have an easy time on mission. They count the cost, and they wish they could move past the various painful aspects of life and work, but I never hear them saying, I wish I'd never gone. And I certainly never hear them saying, I would have been happier if I'd stayed in Australia. I never hear that. Some of you might know Tammy Davis, who works with me in the office. She's our mobilisation lead. And she and her husband, Arthur, and two boys spent 10 years in Tanzania in East Africa. And they had their challenges. And one of their challenges, like the rest of us, was COVID. And this pandemic hit. And they're in a majority world context without the same level of medical support. And so, you know, just imagine yourself in that situation. Is this where you want to be when the killer virus is spreading the planet? Well, Tanzania had become their home, and they had become their people. And there was lots of pressure on them from back here to return to Australia as soon as possible. Get out of there. Come back to where it's safe and happy. But that was not the way they thought about it. They made the decision to stay, unlike many other missionaries who understandably did jump on the available flights while they were there. But it spoke volumes to their Tanzanian friends and colleagues and neighbours. Ah, you think of yourself as one of us. Okay, we too will think of you as one of us. The Davis's challenges didn't end there. Tammy speaks about some of the challenges faced by their boys at school. And interestingly, it wasn't a local Tanzanian school that was causing the trouble. It was a missionary school and a missionary teacher. Because, you know, the world is complicated. But people again asked them, why don't you come home? But Tanzania was their home. Their hearts were happy there. And so what they started this regular weekly practice of going to the beach every Friday afternoon, just a way of reconnecting and enjoying their context. And it became one of the most enjoyable parts of their life in Tanzania. And it only got better when others started to join them. And so they ended up with these regular Friday get-togethers at the beach, and it was just one of their most fond memories. We mustn't think of mission or the work of missionaries as joyless. Mission is joyful. The answers to prayer, which both of these things came out of much prayer, the knowledge that people are praying, that's a great thing. That is a joyful thing to know that people are praying for you. The people and relationships that are formed, the sense of purpose. I'm here for a reason. People coming to faith, people growing in faith. This is joyful mission. It's great. Concern question number two, is mission just the adventures of the super spiritual? No! Still getting a few smiles. That's good. Firstly, missionaries aren't super spiritual. I hate to break it to you. Yes, they have public ministry roles, and so we hold them to a high standard in terms of integrity and holiness. But they're wrestling with the same challenges that all of us are wrestling with. They have times of doubt, times of feeling it's too much, times of needing to repent intentionally for the way they've treated people or the way they've allowed pride or greed or whatever it is to creep into their hearts. But secondly, what makes us think that missionaries choose their own adventure? That they create their own mission? Now, it is true that, you know, missionaries in conversation with sending churches like yours, with their mission agency like CMS, and also in conversation with the people they're going to serve, they will come up with some kind of statement about what they're planning to do, some kind of strategy. So for Kay, the strategy was, and remains, sharing Christ among the gospel poor of Southeast Asia through teaching English. For the Purdies, who are in Santiago, Chile, theirs was theological education of pastors and leaders in Latin America to help grow churches in the Bible. So, yeah, they come up with these strategies, these plans, they stick them on their cards and all that kind of stuff. So they've got a plan. Great, I'm glad you've got a plan. But it's all part of something bigger. Because mission isn't really our idea. Mission belongs to God. That is clear throughout the scriptures. That God has intentions for the whole world. And those intentions include redeeming a group of people, setting a group of people apart. And that group of people might witness to the rest of the world, leading to God's grand plans. You see, our mission has to be God's mission. It can't be anything else than that. It's got to sit under God's strategic vision in the strategic plan. You know what I'm saying? If ever it's not God's mission, then it's nothing, and potentially actually harmful. So mission, at its heart, is sending for a purpose. God sent prophets. God sent his son with a purpose. God sent his spirit, all for a purpose. And now he sends his church for a purpose. Not everyone in the church is sent cross-culturally. But some of us must go cross-culturally if all the nations, if all the peoples are to praise God. It's not just from the west to the rest, it's from everywhere to everywhere. And yet there is this big skew in the world, large sections of the world, 2 billion people living in people groups with less than 1 in 1,000 Christians in them. So no, missionaries absolutely do not choose their own adventure. It's God's mission. It's what he is planning, what he is doing. Our mission is only possible because it's his work, it's his idea. He's the one who's making it happen. Jesus makes this clear in Luke 24. This comes after his resurrection from the dead, and he is briefing his disciples on what is ahead. So it's relevant to this topic, isn't it? Jesus opened their minds. This is Luke 24, verse 45. Jesus opened the disciples' minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what was written in the scriptures." I'm about to give you the interpretive code for the whole of the Bible, is what he's saying. "The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So don't go anywhere. I'm sending you on mission to the rest of the world, but don't go anywhere. Wait, hold on. Don't go in your own strength, seeking to bring about your own plans. Wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. He will be your strength and your guidance, and he is the one who will make it all happen. The preaching of the repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus to all nations is not just Jesus' instruction. It is that. Go and do this. But also it's his promise. It's his plan. He's telling us what's happening, what is going to happen. The nations will be glad and sing for joy because the gospel will go to the nations. I mean, who can speak about the future like that? And do we trust that it's true? I recently read a wonderful illustration of God reminding us of the promise that the nations will sing for joy from a book called The Insanity of God by Nick Ripken. There was a pastor in Russia some decades ago who was arrested and thrown in prison for his faith. It was a huge prison, 3,000 inmates. And this pastor was beaten by the officers daily, both in his cell and then also taken to other parts of the prison to be beaten. But every day he would also stand in his cell and he would sing. He would sing this traditional Russian song of praise to God. Months passed and the beatings continued, and so did the singing. Until one day his tormentors said, "That's it. Last chance. We're done with you. Give up your faith or we will kill you." He said no, and they came to drag him out of his cell in order to kill him. But as they dragged him out and along through the prison or wherever they were going to, a song started. Quietly at first, but then 3,000 strong. The prison thundered with the sound of all the inmates praising God in the words of that song that had been sung in their hearing every day. They were praising in protest. I don't know whether their hearts were in it. I don't know what they thought about God, but whether they realized it or not, they were also praising in fulfillment of this psalm, that the nations will praise him. There are ways that God brings praise. And the pastor was released. The power of that praise was a force that was unstoppable. They had to release him. And the prayers of the churches and the Christians in the area were answered. Now, obviously, that's a one-off, very memorable moment. But what happens every day in the world is God hearing the prayers of his people and answering them in accordance with his stated mission, that all the peoples will praise him. God wants to answer these prayers. CMS, the organisation I work for, is connected to churches and Christians and the work of the Spirit in many, many places in the world, and it's very exciting. You know, we hear stories of dozens of baptisms in Dubai. That's just every Sunday. Stubborn anti-Christians being brought to their knees in the Middle East by the gentle but powerful work of the Spirit, and many, many other stories. Our missionaries get to see all this up close. So is mission just the adventures of the super spiritual? Well, you want to get on board with God's big picture plan, right? But no, ultimately this is about the purposes of God being fulfilled. It's bigger than any of us in our own adventure schemes. And you and I can choose to be part of it, to hear that call. Okay, finally, concern question number 3. Will mission cost me too much? No! Yeah, now we got a full laugh. That was good. Because God will bless you in order that you will have what you need for mission. Now, we talk about blessing all the time, don't we? It's one of our favourite words. We drop it into prayers when we can't think of what we're specifically praying for. Lord, bless. That's fine. But what do we mean when we pray that God would bless a person or a ministry? So Psalm 67 starts with a familiar blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. And what a great thing to pray for. God's favour in my life. Lord, you're welcome in my home, in my family, in my city. Please bring good into those places. Great prayer. But in this, why? There's a reason given for why we pray for blessing. Why do you think God would answer our prayers for blessing? You might say, well, that's obvious. He loves me like a father. You know, he wants the best for me. And it's true, isn't it? Even when we don't get what we ask for, we know he loves us and that his answers are always for our good. But there's actually a more important reason we pray for blessing, and it might surprise you. Maybe you think the most important thing in life is family. No, not according to this psalm. Maybe we think the most important decisions we make in life are about who to marry, what job to do, where to live. No. I hear this blessing being quoted very often, but often not the whole sentence, because it actually goes to the next verse as well. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So the reason we pray for God's blessing? Global mission. Come on, Mark, you can't say everything's about global mission. Well, I actually think you can. I think everything God does is ultimately about God's glory being displayed in the whole world. It all fits into that. The purpose of creation, display God's glory. The purpose of salvation, display God's glory. The purpose of Christ's return, display God's glory. So surprise, surprise, the purpose of the blessings we receive are the same. So the reason we pray for ourselves is so that God's ways might be proclaimed among the nations and that he would get the praise that he's due. This is the heartbeat of the church. Our heart's desire is that God's heart's desire would be fulfilled, that the nations would know him. We pray for blessing on our lives so that global mission would happen. Lord, bless my children so that they might become missionaries. Whether that's overseas or here, you know, bless them so that they'd be part of the stuff that matters. Lord, use my funds and possessions so that Jesus might be praised everywhere. Lord, bless my work and bless my health, not just because it's painful, but yes, Lord, please take away the pain. There's nothing wrong with praying that, but Lord, bless my marriage so that all of these things might work together somehow to promote Jesus, because he is the focus of God's solution, his mission, making Christ known. Everything we have comes from God, right? And it's okay for it to be directed towards God's big picture, God's big agenda. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. So, concern question number three, would mission cost me too much? Depends on how we understand cost, doesn't it? If everything I receive, my possessions, my skills, my experiences, my decades, however you want to look at it, if everything is given to me for the purpose of God's salvation being made among the nations, well, first of all, you know, that might mean you need to rethink a few things, like what are your priorities? Do you accept that? Do you believe that? But if that is true, then using those resources for that purpose doesn't cost you anything. They're what God has spent on me for me to spend on his plans. So I think there are a couple of things that are important to remember in this. One, we must steward God's blessing well and use it for the purpose for which it is given. And two, ask for more blessing. It's okay to ask God to provide for what we need, for the things that are important to God, that he might give us a career that he can use, that he might give us skills and experience that we can put towards making Jesus known, that he might heal me so that I might tell God healed me and give praise to him, whatever it actually is. We might pray for people and families to come to our church so that we might reach out more effectively. So, conclusion, action stations. How do I use my blessings? I'm not doing a big sort of financial appeal or anything like that. I'm not doing a big sign-up drive. This is all up to you and the way that you engage with God in thinking these things through. But I do want to finish with CMS's well-known call to action: pray, care, give, go. Because all of those things are vital to the work of mission. He calls us to do them. So firstly, pray. A year or two back, some of you may remember that Kay, who we support, was finding it hard to get into meaningful spiritual conversations with the people in her life. And that's pretty important, isn't it, if that's what she's gone over to do. And she was finding it hard to break into the conversations. And so she asked us to pray, Lord, give her opportunities. And then in the next update, she reported 3 or 4 significant conversations that she had had about faith. But for us to do that praying for her, it involves a cost to us, doesn't it? It involves our time. But who gave us that time? And what is it a gift for? So let's pray. Care. D&T in Asia have over a decade been connected to an orphanage for abandoned children with disabilities. COVID meant they had to shut the doors on outside help. The long-term care for D&T, though, has helped them to persevere over really a long time of being dislocated from that and just waiting and waiting to see whether their work could recommence. A little while back, they heard that Access was now back on, and they're very much back in their ministry now. But it really was that care, the friendship, the connections that they had that sustained them in many ways. So let's care. Give. Many in this gathering, I know, are already using your financial resources for God's kingdom, including supporting Kay. Excitingly, though, we now have 10 inquirers wanting to be missionaries, planning to go out sometime in the next 5 years. And that's going to cost a fair bit of money for our branch. It's going to double or triple our expenses. How do you feel about more missionaries going out from our branch? Is this something you think is a good thing? What funds have we got to work towards the good things that are happening? So let's give. And finally, go. You may have heard of M on location in the Middle East in a remote kind of area, and it's about 18 months he's been there. They speak a local language there, but many of them use Arabic for public communications or education. And so M had been studying Arabic, and his eye was that this also gives him the opportunity to go to other places, keeping his options open, other places in the Middle East, because it's a very widely used language. But then he realized there's not a single known believer in this people group of 60,000 people. And that burdened him, because most of the missionaries who'd been there had not tried to learn that local language. They'd done really well with Arabic, and that's great. It's very, very hard to learn Arabic, and this is even harder. But he said, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to swap. I'm going to go to this one language. I have to trust God with my times and with my plans and with my energy. And he's taken that call to go. Who is going to go next? Who are we going to send? So let's finish. Is mission joyless? No. It's for the joy of the nations. Is mission just the adventures of the super spiritual? No. It's God's big plan that involves all of us. Would mission cost me too much? No. God has given us abundance. Will we give it back for the purpose for which he gave it? Let's pray. Our Father, we look to you as the God of kind, rich blessings. We think about our lives and the many, many things that you have done in us and for us, and we give you thanks. And we take the courageous step of asking you to use our resources for your kingdom, for your mission. Would you please show us what you'd like us to do? And would you stir in our hearts at the very, very heart of our hearts, the joy of your mission. Amen.